to basics. Get back to basics. And, you know, some of us are like, oh, crud, basics. No, basics are good. It's like checking the foundation. They send the inspector out and you check it and you make sure it's good. So we're going to go back to basics. And the first basics we're going to talk about is salvation. Salvation. Salvation is a package. And I forgot this nice, cute package I had all wrapped. It's at home, but I'll remember it next week. Salvation is a package. And inside the package is a bunch of good stuff. You should be smiling. All right? Bunch of good stuff. Today we're going to talk about one thing that is in the package of salvation. Okay? Now, when I got saved, number one, I didn't have a Bible, and number two, nobody told me a whole lot. I got this package about, and I just prayed this prayer because I just thought it was a great deal, and it was, but I got this package, and I didn't know what was in it. And you'd be surprised, people that have been born again 10, 15, 20 years still open up this package, and they're reading in their Bible, and they'll go, oh my, I didn't know that. That was in the package, all right? And then there's people, maybe you don't know anything. This is the place to be, because this is going to be a good message for you, because we're going to talk about what is salvation, what's inside the package for you, all right? Now, and I know someone's probably saying, oh my gosh, woman, what are you kidding me? I already know about that. I've been born again so long. Well, the Bible says you need to remember good things. And you know, it's very interesting. I started listening to myself pray. Now, that sounds kind of goofy. But every once in a while, I just listen to what comes out of my mouth. And I realized I started just about every one of my prayers going, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for such a great salvation. And some days I'd get that far and have wipeout. So it is good to go over this, all right? And if you think you know everything, terrific. It's still good to review, okay? Is everybody happy? Yes, okay. All right, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 15. This is Paul speaking, the great apostle Paul, all right? 1 Timothy 1:15. Now, I asked Carol if she'd throw this up on the New King James, all right? And then I'm going to throw some other translations here. It says, this is Paul saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Ta-da! Sounds like salvation, right? So why did Jesus come? Save sinners. Now listen to what Paul says next. Of whom I am chief. Another translation says, of whom I'm the worst. Now this is Paul talking about before he got saved. Before he had his big encounter thrown off the horse, before he says, I was the worst. Well, let me tell you, he was bad. He was crazy bad. He would go around looking for Christians. If he found out you had a home group at your house, he'd come in and throw you into prison and try to get you killed. And even he's the guy in the book of Acts that he was holding the coats for all these people so they could stone Stephen to death because they were Christians. So you would say, he's kind of crazy bad, wasn't he? So when he says, of whom I am chief the worst, all right? So he's talking about this. Now, read verse 16. However, for this reason, because I was the worst, for this reason, because I was crazy bad in, you know, killing people, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering. Now, I'm going to put the word in there, patience. Patience, okay? It's another word, but it goes better with my message. So everybody say patience, all right? Patience as a pattern of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Another translation says, but for this reason, I have been shown mercy in me, the worst of sinners. Jesus Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and have received eternal life. Now, everybody say, God is patient. Listen, God has got super big patience. Big patience. Big patience. Matter of fact, I haven't studied the super Greek and the Hebrew, so I'll read commentaries, okay? And I know some people that are studying on their doctorate, and they spout off this stuff, so I can back it up. But listen, it says, from the time Adam sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, till the time Jesus came and hit the planet Earth, there was 4,000 years that went by. That's patience. All right, God has a lot of patience, okay? And that's a good thing. Everybody say, that's good news. Because he's got patience with me. Anybody, does he have patience with you? Yeah, all right, that's the good news. God is patient and he's patient with you. And listen, he is not mad at you. He loves you. He's patient with you. All right, so if you're taking notes, number one, God is patient. God is patient. Look at your neighbor and say, he's really patient with you too. He's patient with you, all right? Let me give you an example of how big his patience is. And if you ever read, this is you guys study because you're not converts, you're disciples, and disciples study the Word of God. Raise your hand, all you disciples, all right? Okay, read from Genesis to Matthew. Read through the Bible in a year. But it's interesting, God showing his patience. He kept bringing all these kings, one king, the next king, the kings, and he brought all these kings so they could lead his children, okay? And you know what happened to just about every single one of them? As you read in Genesis and all the way through, it says this about these kings, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or I read that and I go, whoa. And then you read what they did and you go, wow, bad. And then they die and the next one would come along. And they'd say, and he started out good, but then he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then the next one comes. But there's only a couple that really got their applause from God. Okay, so God, and you know the second part is, they did evil in the sight of the Lord and then they led the children in the wrong direction. And yet God was patient, all right? I'm kind of building where I'm going here, all right? Now, In Ephesians, let me give you another idea on how patient God was. In Ephesians, let me back up. Okay, so God is patient. Adam sinned, and we usually think, but I'm going to blow your thinking away with this scripture. We usually think after Adam and Eve sinned, God goes, oh my gosh, I got to get this plan going. Okay, I got a plan going. No. Ephesians says, before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. Before the world was, I laid in bed. I tried to find that not to be true. I read the scripture and I thought, that's not true. And I started digging around. I was like, I found another one. But listen, that scripture talks about how patient God was. And it says, before the world was even created, God had a plan. All right, so number one, God is patient. Take notes. Number two, God has a plan. Better yet, write this. God is a planner. Write that down. God is a planner. Now, some of you who fly by the seat of your pants and never plan anything, you just kind of roll with it, okay? Don't hit your spouse. Guess what? The planner lives in you. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, the planner, the greater one, the planner lives with you, and he just might be able to help you plan out your life. Yeah, he might be able to help you plan your vacation so you're not doing last-minute crazy and stressed out. Okay, Tom, Scott, and Martha, stop punching one another. They're laughing. I thought, ah, ha, ha, ha. I know what happened there. Okay, so number two, God is a planner. Now, how many of you are thankful that God is a planner? I am. I'm really thankful. Now, I'm going to give you the fast forward because I have a whole bunch of things I kind of have to get in here. Number one, the whole plan of salvation. Here, God brings Adam and Eve to this earth, okay? And then he makes a covenant. He makes a covenant. And that's where we're going to end up talking. But he makes a covenant with them. And he says, hey, listen, I'm going to let you rule and reign on this earth. I'm going to give you dominion. That's the plan. That's the plan in the covenant. And God also gives us free will. That means we're not a robot. Okay? He also gave Adam and Eve free will. Okay? And because he gave them free will, they then later on got tempted, and you know the rest of the story. They sinned, they fell, they blew it, they failed. Any other words you want to throw in there? All right? So that happens. Now, God gets started doing the plan. He already had the plan, but then he gets doing the plan, the package, what's in there. And you know what happens? Part of his getting started on the plan is that he makes a way for everybody, starting with Adam and Eve, and everybody until Jesus, to have their sins covered. To have their sins covered. Now, you and I, if you're born again, we have a better deal. Our sins are washed away, right? But the plan, to get started in the plan, God had this plan that because of their sin, he would make a way for them to be covered. Their sin would be covered, okay? Now, covered. Way back in the day when we built our house, gosh, it's almost 30 years ago, and we had the colors back then was green and peach and beige. So guess what color my carpet was? Peach. And I bet you it wasn't but the first year we got it, this huge plant. It was one of these big old plants. And I was watering it, and I didn't take notice that I overwatered it. And, you know, then I'd come back a couple days and water it. And I must have done this a bunch. And one day I did look. I think it was probably around Christmas time, because then I wanted to move this plant over here so I could put my Christmas tree there. And I look and I go, oh, my gosh, my beautiful peach carpet is stained. It was bad. It's like that round rusty thing. And I got Resolve carpet out, and I could not get that stain out. So after Christmas, I just rearranged the furniture. I covered the stain. For the next 15 years till we replaced the carpet, that was covered, right? All right, now, that's what God did in his plan. He just covered their sin. But guess what was always there? Their sin, right? All right. Now, that's not how it works with us. If you got saved 5 minutes ago, 5, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, your sins are not covered. They're washed away. That is wonderful, right? Okay, everybody say clean, washed, cleaned. All right, now let me give you, I'm building some things. Also, under the old covenant, one, your sins were only covered. They weren't washed away. Two, if you died in that span of time from the Old Testament until Jesus died, that whole big span, all right, if you died, you went to a holding place. You know the holding tank? You went to a holding tank. Pastor D, what kind of stuff are you teaching? I'm going to teach you the Bible today, okay, because I want you to see the plan that's in the package of salvation. Okay, so if you died in the Old Testament before Jesus came, you went to a holding place. Now, you already know that. How many of you know the story of Lazarus? When he died, the poor guy Lazarus, he died, where did he go? Abraham's bosom. That's a place called the holding place. Now, when I taught little kids, don't ever say the word bosom with little kids in a classroom. And I'm going, oh, Jesus, I need some help getting around this one here. And I said, it's the holding place, a safe place. like when a mom holds their baby next to their, and they go, I said, they're safe, all right? So anyway, so people would die back then. When they died, they didn't literally go to hell. They went to a holding place if they believed in God. Okay, now they didn't really know about Jesus. There were little bursts of stories about him. But if they believed in God, they went to this holding place until Jesus died and he rose again. Now, in Ephesians, okay, there's my scripture. Ephesians, where is it? Ephesians 4:8, thank you. Ephesians 4:8, it says, he led captivity captive. Or he led those who were held captive free. When Jesus died, and then he rose again, I think I was telling you, Michael, this one time we were talking, it was Easter at my house, some of the wild, crazy, hairy things that were going on after Jesus rose again. First he says, Mary, don't touch me. I haven't gone to my father. But also it said they saw people walking around. The dead that had died believing in God, he leads them captive, the captives free. He leads the captives free to heaven. That's part of the plan, all right? And then someday when we die, we're going to heaven too, right? Okay, so part of the plan is he led the captives free, those that were captive free. All right, now. Getting back to Paul in 1 Timothy, he says he was the worst of sinners. It's like he was saying, hey, guys, I was so bad, but this salvation was made for me. So maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I am really bad. I am really bad, bad, bad. Well, let me tell you, this salvation was made for you. Everybody say, this salvation was made for me. If you don't know Jesus, this salvation was made for you. If you know Jesus and you're, because some days you just don't feel like you've been not so good. I don't even want to hear what you did. But this salvation was made for you. This is why we call it a great salvation. This is the plan, all right? So praise God, this salvation. Now, the next thing, number three, or what number we're on, write down, salvation is free. Salvation is free. Oh my God. Thank you. Salvation is free. That means I don't have to work for it. Now, I came from a denomination, which I thank God for because it gave me a God conscious. Now, this part I didn't like about it, but you had to work for things. You had to be at places on a certain day. You had to light candles. You had to do things. You had to work. But wait a minute, this salvation was free. Yahoo! Okay? Now, this is the warning, is that sometimes we think we have to do something for this salvation. But everybody say, salvation is free. All right? Salvation's free. And because this salvation came, because Jesus came, because it came through him, and he's the only way to get to the salvation. There's only one way. Oh, I could sing a kid's song. I better not. Okay, there's only one way to Jesus. Excuse me, there's only one way to salvation. It's through Jesus. It says he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And there's a whole bunch of religions that make you do things to supposedly get better, to supposedly get saved. They're not true. Those are cults, okay? This salvation is free. You don't have to do anything. Besides, you couldn't do anything. You are just pitiful, all right? That's why he said the salvation's free, all right? So if it's free, it means it's not by performance. I will forever remember my brother Patrick, who was the worst of the worst sinners, sitting on my deck with Phil and Jack and I don't know who else, and he starts out going, But when he started with the first sentence, I decided, too much information, I'll leave him with the guys. But he started telling me the worst of the worst. That's my little baby brother. I just got out of there. I let the men do it. Anyway, Patrick was just bawling because he said, you don't know what I did. I did this. That's when I said I was out of here. Didn't need to hear any more. My little brother, oh my gosh. And then he said more and more. And the men that were out on that deck said, good. This is unconditional. There's nothing you can do. You just have to receive it. That's a great salvation. So when someone throws that card on you, why they can't get saved, you say, no, it's free. It's unconditional. No performance. No performance required. You do not have to do something. There's no requirements to get there except believe. And that, someone once said, oh man, this is too good to be true. That's it. They got it. It is too good to be true. Think about that when they say it's too good to be true. It's free, unconditional, okay? No performance. And so everybody say, Jesus is the only way. Okay, now, go online and type in www.ycf, okay? And then we list they're called what we believe. What's the fancy word? Mission statement. Thank you. And go believe. Go read what we believe. I want to tell you, here at YCF, we are not a cult. We believe there's only one way to salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. All right? And I am not the Messiah. I am so far from it. My job is to point you to Him. All right? That's what we believe. All right? So in case someone says, why, that's a wacky church. They believe crazy things. No, we don't. All right? All right, so if you're taking notes, salvation comes, hallelujah, through Jesus. How am I going to do this? Salvation comes, and God put in salvation a covenant. So the first thing we're pulling out of the package today is covenant. The first thing in the package of salvation, all of that was just to get you here. Okay, the first thing in the package I'm going to pull out today, we're going to talk about is covenant. Everybody ever hear that word covenant? Do you know what it means? Okay, if you're writing down notes, it means a contract. Real simple, a contract. Covenant is a contract. God is going to do a contract, a covenant. All right, now covenant also means like to make a pact, to make a treaty, all right, and it's binding. All right, now the closest thing that we have in our everyday life is a marriage covenant, right? That's the closest thing that we have that kind of gets your wheels turning. And God designed it. God designed the covenant of marriage to be forever. That's why they say death do us part. Now, not everybody does it, and there's no condemnation. That's why you have a great salvation and forgiveness if you've been divorced, okay? It's okay. That's the great part of salvation. But the design of the covenant was for two people to make a covenant that would be lasting, binding, a contract, okay? Now, that's just a real tiny, I had to throw that in, but that is so little to what God does in covenant. God does covenant big, all right? Now, you can turn over to Genesis 11. Genesis 11 on through Genesis 17. Just write that down because I'm going to give you the fast forward. Genesis 11 on to 17. God's going to go into a covenant with a guy named Abram, and he's going to change his name to Abraham. God is going to cut a covenant with this guy. Now, I also want to throw just trivia. There's whole bunches of covenants listed in the Bible. The first one is the covenant with Adam. Then there's Abraham. Then there's with the children of Israel. Then there's with David. There's a whole bunch of covenants that God cuts with people in the Old Testament. And then there's Jesus. Okay, but we're going to just talk about Abraham today, all right? So God goes into covenant with Abraham, and he says, hey, Abraham, what? Oh, by the way, his name is Abram. What? I want you to serve me. I want you to leave your family, leave your town, and come follow me. That's the covenant that I want to make with you. And Abraham says, okay. And he packs his bags and his wife, and he just leaves everybody, right? Okay, now, this is so cool. In the book of Galatians, it says, because of all of what Abraham did, that he believed, all those that believe in the Lord Jesus, you become Abraham's seed. And all the blessings of the covenant that God gave Abram now becomes yours. That's just like the icing and the cherry on the cake, all right? So, and all that he does, or does do, all that Abram does is he just believes God. He believes he's going into this covenant. He believes, okay, I'll serve you. He believes I'm going to go and follow you. And God says, good, we got a covenant going. All right, so everybody say covenant. Now, how many of you know that in the middle of this covenant that Abram has with God, he messes up? He sins. Oh, God is so patient. God has a plan. Okay, number one, the big mess up that Abram does is he and Sarah are traveling, and they run across this king, and he says, whoa, Sarah, you're so beautiful. And he goes to Abram, hey, she your wife? Oh, no, she's not my wife. She's her sister. She's my sister. No, no, she's not my wife. He lies to the king. That's called a mess up, right? Lying is a mess up. And he lies to the king, and then God comes and wakes up the king and says, hey, you touch that woman, your whole household's going to be cursed. And he goes, no, he told me that it was just his sister. And he says, no, that's his wife. So the king throws back Sarah. Okay, so that's one of his first mess ups, and then he does the exact same thing. How many of you have done the exact same mess up a couple of times? So don't beat yourself up. All right, so he does the same thing again. Okay, now the biggie mess up is, you know, God told him, hey, Abram, I'm going to go into covenant with you, and I want you to serve me, and I want you to leave your family, and he says yes, and you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to do all this, and Abram and Sarah are just so delighted that they're going to have a child, but then they get tired of waiting. Anybody ever get tired of waiting? And they go like, you know, I don't know if this guy's really going to do it. He's going to come through. We should help him out. Wrong answer. You help God out on his plans, not this one. So Abram goes have sex with Sarah's handmaiden, and they have a baby. And that baby is Ishmael. And by the way, that's the current day Iraq and Iran. Your boo-boos might just be lasting, right? Yeah. Okay, now, that was just fun throwing that in there. Okay, so he makes a covenant, and he messes up. All right, let's get back to the covenant part. So God has a covenant with Abram, and this is how he's going to do it. He says, Abram, I want you to get these animals, and I want you to cut them in half. Except for, and get these birds, but don't cut the birds in half. So Abraham cuts these heifers and all this blood thing all going on and meat, you know, and blood. And he doesn't cut the birds. And the next thing you know, the birds of prey, I'm going to call them vultures. I didn't bother looking up what they start trying to grab the blood and the meat down there. And Abraham's going crazy. Can't wait. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And God's probably saying, what is he doing? So God causes Abram to have a deep sleep. And in the sleep, God finishes the covenant. He proclaims, he declares, Abram, you're going to be the father of a great nation, of many nations, and you're going to have all these descendants and all these blessings and all this land. He starts declaring it. Now, question, what is Abram doing in the covenant? He's sleeping. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. What is he doing? Nothing. He's doing nothing. He's sleeping. All right? God cut a covenant, and Abraham had to do nothing. It was, thank you for your song, unconditional. There was no conditions that Abram, there was no performance, there was no requirements. It's actually an unconditional covenant that God made with Abram. He did nothing, actually could do nothing, but he did nothing. It was all about God. He didn't do anything. He's sleeping. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Now, listen to this. In order to have a covenant, Old Testament covenant, you have to have a sacrifice, those cut those animals in blood. You have to have blood. Yeah, we had blood. And you have to have someone to make the covenant with. You just don't make it with outer space, okay? So they had the animal sacrifices. They had blood. And then you have to have someone to make it with. Well, God was making with Abram, but he didn't have to do anything. That is great. All right? Now, let me ask you this. When you get married, who do you make a covenant with? The other person, the spouse. The girl with the guy, by the way. Right? Okay? And so Abraham does nothing. Now, I'm going to go fast forward. Jesus comes on the scene. He is the sacrifice, the lamb, right? And he was slain, pierced, beaten, and blood, right? So the blood, it was his blood. He was our sacrifice. He was the blood. He was our covenant, all right? And what did we have to do? Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You didn't have to do anything. That's a great salvation. That's the love of God. Okay? Nothing for this salvation because of the covenant. All right? Now, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Now, interesting. Okay, I got to throw in a little trivia here. I didn't know Jesus personally 2,000 years ago. Anybody know him personally 2,000 years ago? I didn't even know he lived. I hadn't been born, okay? And yet, he died, he rose again, and he sits down at the Father's right hand, he makes this covenant for me, and I didn't know about it, but he did it for me. It's already done for me. It's already done for you, right? Okay? The Bible says that now Abram was asleep when this covenant went into action. And the Bible says that we were yet dead in our sins or asleep in our sins. Same thing. We were dead. We were asleep. We didn't do anything. Just like Abraham, we didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. I'm so glad this is unconditional. Amen. You just have to believe him and receive him, right? Okay. Oh, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? Let me see. All right, skipping forward. So here we are today. Jesus has died. He rose, and he got up. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He rose. He got up. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, and he says some things about you now because you're in the covenant, because you believe. He says, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a servant. Now, I know there's scriptures about serve the Lord. Okay, but stay with me. He says some things about you now because you're in the covenant. Like Abram had his name changed to Abraham. Well, God has some things about you. He calls you not a servant, not a slave. He says, the Bible says he calls you sons and daughters. Now, which would you rather be? Slave, son, servant, daughter. No brainer, okay? Isn't that wonderful? That's the package. In the package is the covenant. That's what's in the covenant. You are now sons and daughters. Now, I have one son, and he's my son. And it doesn't matter what he does, he's my son. I have three daughters, and it doesn't matter what they do, they're always my daughters. They don't have to perform. They were just... It's unconditional. They're my daughters. Now, I found out, and some of you already know, they are not perfect. Oh, my goodness. Okay? But I have an unconditional love. They are still my son and my daughters. And a matter of fact, as they get older, they tell me things, and I just go, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Woo! Oh, my gosh. About when they weren't perfect. By the way, I do the same thing. My kids don't know half of me, okay? But guess what? What are they still? My kids. Okay, it doesn't matter. Mark Fry, it doesn't matter what you do. You are still the son of God, a son of God, aren't you? I beat him all the time on this. Say, I am a son. You are. Okay. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's unconditional. You are a son or a daughter because of the covenant Jesus did for you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Now, doesn't mean, and listen, when I know that, I want to live, the Bible later on says you have been made holy. I want to live that way. Okay? But I do make mistakes. And I am forever loved. Forever loved. Forever changed. Okay? So, I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected by the one who lives in me. And I got news, the day I finally give up breath, I'm going to be a whole lot better. Because of him, and I'm going to walk with him. All right? I'm just going to wrap up here. I got like 5 more pages of great stuff. So we'll do part 2 next week. But listen, if you're not born again, if you've not gone into a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never said, that's pretty good. I've never done that. If you'd like that, real simple. It says if you confess your sins and believe, it's really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get the package of salvation. So if you're here today, we're going to pray, all right? Now, if you're here today and you've been walking with the Lord a long time and you just blow it some days, like you go, God, I really messed up. And then you go, God, can you help me? God is not going, no, you're not one of my kids anymore. You messed up. He's going, yeah, I'm here to come alongside and help you. All right, and I prefer you get it together, you just don't keep doing it, but he's not going to bail ship on you. People bail ship on you. People ditch out on you. People put pressure on you to be perfect. You're not. I'm not going to be. But the perfect one is on the inside of me, and I am aiming at walking in that. So maybe some of you just have to say, Father, I'm really sorry. I've been beating myself up, trying to be when I'm just going to be me. I'm made perfect. The Bible says you're made holy. And we won't even get all that, okay? So let's, how do we do this? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that Jesus is the word. I thank you that Jesus is the word, the way, the truth, the life. He's the only way to come in covenant, to come into salvation. And I thank you, Father, for these words that they just explode. Every time these people pick up their word, Father, they just explode of how great an unconditional, perfect salvation you've brought them into. And Father, that they would walk with their shoulders back from now on. I'm a daughter of God Almighty. I'm a son of the King. Father, they'd walk and take the ground. And listen, folks, in Jesus' name, let me just say one more thing. Satan has one big mission. He is trying to get you to feel that you've made the biggest mistake, to feel that you're not good enough for his love. Everybody say, liar, 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 pants on fire. All right? There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. No trials, no persecution, no death, no famine, nothing, nothing, nothing. He loves you. And now, inside you is this amazing power and light, and it is waiting to be distributed wherever you go. Wherever you go, live this life. Tell people of how great a salvation that they don't have to do anything, they have to believe, all right? God does all the doing. He cleans you up, amen? Amen. Wow. Boy, I want to sing that last song or this, which one? They're all the whole message.